I'm Annie.
And I'm Parker.
And you're listening to
WGXC Acra
Hudson
Catskill 90.7 FM.
Amazing. On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Azuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Acra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
The world is mine. Look at me. You know it, so do I. The world is mine. Skeletal tries, fails every time. I don't have to try. The world is mine. Stunned when I see the CCTV, smartphone shots of someone getting killed by the cops. Why would it happen? Why? I can't imagine it happening. I can't imagine it happening.
Houses and a house that calls our souls to time.
but we all kill gently now. We're not blind, but we try. And I can say my poem to my friends, and we can even cry about it. We can even cry. Meanwhile, none deny, with a sugar somehow sour, and a line of broken fingers crossed and pointing at a broken tower, gone ashen black. Untold numbers still up there now, whose remains claim the heavens and paint their names into the sunshine that's tried to fall on flowers. While the loss is all of ours, the world is mine.
This is Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin. You're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. Today, a show inspired and built for the summer cookout. Later this hour, cookbook author Lucas Folger is going to join me. He has a tremendous new book. It's called Veggie Burgers, Every Which Way, Fresh, Flavorful, and Healthy Plant-Based Burgers. Plus, toppings, sides, buns, and more. It's a tremendous cookbook full of veggie burger recipes. We're going to talk about all sorts of things food-related, get you ready for this blazing summer. Make sure you get outside and eat some healthy food. We're also going to play a tremendous amount of music, all sorts of tremendous things. I've said tremendous 3 times now, but I think that means good things for the next hour. So keep listening right here to Ginger Radio Hour. We opened with Alabaster de Plume, The World Is Mine. And here is Anoni, new album featuring Anthony and the Johnsons. The song is It Must Change.
There are words that can make you happy, and there's words that can make you sad. Sometimes there's a word that can cause confusion, and there's other words sometimes make you mad. Especially if they're true, or if you mean it, let me hear you say it.
I love you.
Oh, oh yeah.
I love you. Right now, I love you. Oh.
Yeah, 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 yes, I do.
You know I do.
Mm-hmm. Those words that can just soothe all aches and pains. And there's words that can make the teardrops fall like rain. And there's a little words that can keep an army going to war. But these words, oh, I've never heard before. But there's three words that just mean so much to me. Especially if they're true.
Googie googie, oh cooey cabra. Well, I do my best to bury it.
his head and maybe need an ish bed. The bag is hung. I'm leaving over and over. And things get better than I just put them inside. Is it better than I just put it inside? But if you beat it, honey, if you beat it, will I do my best to bear it? Will I do my best to bear it? If it please, will I do my best to bear it? Will I do my best to bear it?
Yes, I understand that every life must end. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go.
Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love.
Some folks just have one, you know, others they've got none. Oh.
Stay with me. Oh, let's just breathe.
Practiced are my sins, never gonna let me win.
Under everything, just another human being.
Yeah, I don't wanna hurt. There's so much in this world to make me believe. Stay with me, you're all I see.
And did I say that I need you? Did I say that I want you? Oh, if I didn't, I'm a fool, you see. No one knows this more than me. I come clean.
I wonder every day as I look upon your face.
Everything you gave and nothing you would take.
Nothing you would take.
Everything you gave. Did I say that I need you? Oh, did I say that I want you?
I didn't, I'm a fool, you see. No one knows this more than me. As I come clean, I... take everything you gave.
Love you till I die. Meet you on the other side. That,
of course, was the great Willie Nelson, featuring his son, Lucas Nelson. The song, a cover, Just Breathe, originally by Pearl Jam. In reverse order, before that, Dijon, with the track Coogie. And Solomon Burke led it off with the song Words, from one of my favorite pieces of vinyl that I brought in today. So you're caught up. We're about 10 minutes out from our interview with Lucas Volger, talking about veggie burgers and cookouts and healthy foods this summer. But let's get right back into the music. Here is Handsome Boy Modeling School.
Holy calamity, scream insanity. Oh, are you ever going to be another great fan of me? Boom! Holy calamity, scream insanity. All you ever gonna be is another great fan of me. Great.
This is a journey. Yes, you did. yes you did. Yes you did. Maybe I'm selfish, don't know the pain deep inside. Darling, you put up a good, put up a damn good fight. If you travel to the other side, darling, I'll be right here holding your hand. You taught me how to be a real man. I'll be right here holding your hand. You taught me how to be a real man. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Don't you leave. Don't you go. Morning's cool, the legacy. Don't you leave? Don't you go, Doris. Morning's cool, the legacy so strong. Don't you leave? Don't you go, Doris. Morning's cool, the legacy. Don't you leave? Don't you go, Doris. Morning's cool.
That was Krungbin and Leon Bridges, excuse me, from their terrific album, Texas Moon. The track was Doris, and before that, Barty Strange with Flaggy God. We've arrived at the moment where I'm going to share some grilling, cooking, and veggie burger tips, all courtesy of the great cook, Lucas Volger. I came across this cookbook thanks to Eater, I believe, which featured a review of the book. Again, it's Veggie Burgers Every Which Way. It's actually a revised and updated second edition. We'll get into that in a moment. But I read this review, and then I got my hands on the book, and I realized I just had to speak with Lucas. And then we did last week, and he taught me so much, and he's going to teach all of us some ways that we can enjoy some local vegetables, some local Hudson Valley vegetables this summer, on the grill, in the kitchen, and in a veggie burger. So this cookbook, which I'm looking through right now, which has beautiful design and photographs, features veggie burger basics. I'm looking at the contents here. There's about 30 veggie burgers in all. They're bean and grain burgers, vegetable burgers, tofu, tempeh, on and on and on. Even teaches us how to make some sides, which one of my favorites here that I haven't tried, but I just got my rutabagas yesterday to try this weekend, are rutabaga fries. And also, currently my favorite veggie burger in here is the spicy peanut and carrot burger. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to introduce you now to Lucas Volger. I asked him so many things, but I asked him especially why the book got revised and updated so soon. The first one came out around 2010. And here's what he told me.
Well, it's interesting. It wasn't actually my idea. My publisher came back to me and they said, you know, we think that it might be a good time to try reissuing this, because I wrote the original edition in 2010, 13 years ago, and there have been a couple veggie burger books that had been published prior to that, at the time, it was still sort of veggie burgers were seen a little bit as like kind of a fringe thing. And I think that the book resonated with a lot of people because I took a really sort of hardline stance about like the quality of the vegetables in the veggie burgers and that being sort of the way to think about them like creatively and less so as like a convenience food. And so the book, that was my first book. And I think I was really lucky that it really like launched a career for me and it continues to sell. And I hear from people often that, you know, about the recipes that they've cooked from it and stuff. And then my publisher reached out to me and I think they sort of saw before I did that, you know, over the past 13 years, there's been, you know, this veggie burgers have kind of like, as I write in the introduction, they've come to embody a lot more than just like an alternative to a hamburger. And so especially around the advent of like fake meats and lab meats with like Impossible Burgers and Beyond Burger, and just like the sort of what they represent in the popular imagination and what those tech meats represent, but also like how the veggie burger came to be sort of like the symbol of it. And then also that sort of the expectation of those brands and like the promise of them may not have entirely like been fulfilled based on like their valuations and sort of what the markets were expecting of them. And that perhaps what we're seeing instead is sort of a return to real food, what I think of as real food. I don't want to disparage these companies. So I know that like feeding the world and like being able to address scale and to all the different, you know, reasons people eat what they eat and choose to eat what they eat. I think that like they certainly are trying to solve a problem and doing it in the best way they know how. But my own personal preference is for veggie burgers like the ones that I put in my book that are made of real vegetables. And I think that they're a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. And there's a lot more opportunity to sort of like play around and just like eat with the seasons and to, I don't know, just be creative and to not think of them as any kind of like alternative to a more legitimate form or as like some kind of like concession food when you're like the vegetarian at a barbecue or something.
So I'd like to get into, I have your quote, which is veggie burgers as quote, some kind of consolation prize unquote, which I really appreciate, as a vegetarian and an aspiring vegan. But I wanted to get a little bit, so as somebody who's eaten a lot of veggie burgers, and your book really caused me to kind of think back to where did I first discover veggie burgers. But I wondered where your relationship, I don't know if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, but where your relationship with the veggie burger began.
As you were talking, I was just thinking about that. And I feel like it, for me, the veggie burger was like a rite of passage when I became a vegetarian in college. And I'm not a strict vegetarian anymore. It's still kind of like my default form of eating. But at that time, I was really like eager to, you know, it just seemed like such an easy thing to do. And like something, it felt really exciting to, you know, like limit my diet and to sort of like understand what the impact of that choice was. And to like, it was also around the first time that I kind of had control over everything that I was eating because I was like living, you know, on my own. And but at that time, I feel like it's like, well, I'm a vegetarian now. Got to go get some veggie burgers at the grocery store. And like, when you go out, I moved to New York in 2002 and going to the diners here is like, I'm definitely ordering the veggie burger because I'm a vegetarian and that's what I do. And it just felt like it just came with the territory. I don't ever remember thinking of it even as like a convenience food or like it was never just there because, you know, I certainly didn't grow up with them being in the freezer. I think it just felt like almost like part of the uniform. That makes sense. I haven't been doing it recently, but I teach a lot of cooking classes and, you know, go to events and do like book events and talks and things. And I'm always surprised that like the people that come are not predominantly like dyed-in-the-wool, like vegetarians or vegans. They're people that are really curious about just like eating more vegetables and they're kind of overwhelmed with like even where to begin. And I think those people in particular are not interested in eating like, I mean, they're, cause they're going to eat meat. So they don't really want like meat analogs, but they are, it really resonates with them to have like a delicious sort of like delicious veggie burger made from, you know, all these ingredients that they recognize and already cook with. And to like have it designed to sort of like highlight the flavor of beets or highlight the flavor of carrots and parsnips or highlight the flavor of corn or whatever it is. But to, I guess just to be kind of ingredient focused that way, it landed with a lot of readers in that way. Yeah.
So I have a couple specific questions about, I guess let's do it in a seasonal way. Like right now we're in July. What is the veggie burger that you're making at home? Whether you're just making in your kitchen or maybe you're putting on a grill, doesn't matter. But what is the one that you're, you know, what veggies are you highlighting right now?
Right now, well, the funny thing is I just did this event recently and made a bunch of veggie burgers, and I made one on with beets and carrots, which are not really like the, but I mean, it actually, that was, I mean, the farmers markets are just now kind of starting to pop here in New York. So I feel like the stuff that's really exciting there, you would use a little bit more as a garnish because they're like delicate and like peas or spring onion. I mean, I did throw some like spring onions into the mix, but the one that I made recently that was really good is the beet and brown rice burger that also has black beans in it. And I don't know, I kind of like that burger, and I was cooking for a bunch of people. And so I knew that it would be sort of this like, a little bit more pretty like accessible in terms of mm-hmm. like there's also going to be other stuff on the menu, and I don't know, that one just kind of works because it's got the beet color and fits right in at a barbecue, and also tastes really good. But I think that like, yeah, for right now it's with the farmers market vegetables, it's true that like the heartier ones tend to like work a little bit better in the patties themselves, but I have reached for the seasonal stuff like at late spring and early summer, primarily for like garnishes.
And then probably for you, like, I mean, looking through your book, the fall gives you this opportunity to use, you know, all sorts of these recipes over and over.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love using once like the squashes start to appear, that's one of my favorite ingredients in the veggie burgers. And I really like to, and I do this with the beets and the carrots and a lot of other things as well, but just to coarsely grate them. And then, so you don't have to like pre-roast them, but then it sort of makes this nice varied texture and it makes it malleable and actually works really well in a veggie burger. So I'm looking forward to that once that appears.
That was one of the tips that I had never considered. And I already, you know, I was like, well, here's, you know how you learn a couple, well, you probably learn a lot of these things, but for me, there's a couple things I learn each year that like then I get to weave into my you know, regular cooking habits. And that one struck me. Obviously, I grate a lot of carrots. I love beets, but I've never grated them. And I do like roasting them quite a bit, but it's a huge hassle and it's messy. And so that's a good tip.
Yeah. I mean, the box grater is a really great tool.
Did you, I recently, this was probably also an eater. I don't know. We get so caught up in just the way that we do things or make things and never think of other ways. But it was just a photograph that somebody shared where they use their box grater instead of standing it up and holding the handle, which, you know, mine is like a pretty cheap one, so it's not great. They just turn it over and they, wow. Yeah. And they grate like that so that when they're done, they just pick it up and dump it into a bowl. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it kind of changed my life.
That's mind blowing. Have you tried that? Does it
like I do it all the time. It works. Yeah. I do it for cheese too.
Okay. That is that actually makes a lot of sense.
Because I don't tend to grate onto my cutting boards. I grate into a bowl and it's never the right fit, you know, and so it's like wobbly or whatever. but just turning it over really changed things for me.
Oh, that's so smart.
Can we talk about binding agents? Because this, I think, is something that most people don't really understand a lot about and don't understand how important it is with the veggie burger. And
yes, binding agent. The binding is probably one of the most crucial aspects of the veggie burger. I feel like without the binding agent, you're eating like sauteed vegetables or a salad. You know, like the binding, the fact that you can mold it all into a burger is what makes it, you know, a burger. I, you know, when I first wrote the book, I leaned on eggs a lot because they're all the, obviously the vegetarian recipes there, and it's a very easy fix if you eat eggs. I mean, the egg just works and you don't have to worry about it. But then I had a veggie burger business for about 4 years, and starting in 2013 or 14, I believe. And I created a line of veggie burger mixes. So it was like the prepared veggie burgers, but not shaped, just packed into a tub. And then at home, you'd scoop it into a patty and like cook it in a skillet or bake it in the oven or whatever, or use it like ground meat, and in that it doesn't necessarily have to be veggie burgers. But with that, I wanted it to be vegan and I wanted it to be gluten-free. And so I did a lot more testing there. And that really kind of like changed the way I make veggie burgers now, in that like I never use eggs. And I mean, I never use eggs really when I'm making veggie burgers these days, because I just don't think it's necessary. And it actually kind of like dilutes the flavor of the veggie burger as well. And so what I like to do best is usually you need, if the mixture is moist, which we're talking about vegetables, so they have a water content, it's going to be moist. I like to use a little bit of like a combination of some kind of starch, whether it's like a potato starch or corn starch or arrowroot powder. And then with that, I will either take like a potato and steam it, and then like mash it up with a fork and then mix that in. Cause you know, that sort of like, it doesn't like aerate, but it sort of, it's sticky and it helps the stuff hold together. And then that combined with the starch, like helps the burger hold together. And then this is something that I did with my business, which was using dehydrated potato flakes, which are the same thing as like instant mashed potatoes. And some of them you have to be careful when you're shopping for those, because some of them are like butter flavored or they have a lot of additives. But if you look for the Bob's Red Mill one, it's just like one ingredient and just potatoes. And those do pretty much the same thing, except that they also help to absorb. That's really like my favorite. So especially with a burger like my beet hazelnut burger, which is primarily made out of like grated beets and grated carrots, some onions that you sweat down, some spices. And then because that's moist, then you'll throw in the starch and the dehydrated potatoes, and then the hazelnuts, of course. And then that, it kind of like that, I think, works really well. And everything in there contributes to the flavors of the vegetables rather than sort of, dampening them and I try not to use breadcrumbs as well anymore, because they do the same thing where they end up kind of like washing out the flavor. And if you're going to serve your veggie burger on a bun, you probably don't need extra bread in the patty anyway. But and sorry, I know this is like a long-winded answer, but the other thing is that I feel like if we can also let go of the idea that a veggie burger should mimic the texture of a hamburger, that would help us a lot in just kind of appreciating veggie burgers for what they are, which is the vegetables. And so like they're going to be a bit more moist. They're not going to have that same kind of like structural integrity, I guess, that like a animal protein does. And so in that sense, it's almost helpful just like make smaller patties and expect that they're going to smoosh a little bit. Or what I like to do with bean based burgers, which I rarely use egg in those either, is if I'm cooking them on a griddle or cooking them in a skillet, I'll oil the skillet and then I'll like flatten them and I cook them like smash burger style. And so it gets really nice and crispy around the outsides, and then it's nice and moist on the inside. And that also kind of like just solves the whole issue of like, does this hold together well enough? So I get it that like nobody wants a veggie burger that's mushy, and nobody wants one that's going to like crumble out the side of the bun. But I also, I don't want to have to like, you know, manipulate the veggie burger too much with like weird ingredients in order for it to have like a meat like texture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I agree that I'm never looking for a veggie burger that has the same texture as a hamburger. That doesn't matter to me. But I do want it to have a sear on it. And I thought maybe this isn't true for every one of the burgers in your book, but I thought it was really helpful to, I hadn't thought of doing it this way, but to do the sear for 5 or so minutes on each side in a cast iron pan or whatever, and then to put it in the oven for 15 minutes to get it actually cooked through. Because I think that's the thing that I often do wrong, even with a frozen veggie burger, is that, you know, to get it actually cooked through is very hard on a stovetop. It's easier for me on a grill because I can just kind of set it off to the side and let it be there for 20 minutes. But
yeah, that's a, I mean, if you don't mind using both your stovetop and your oven, that's a really great way to cook veggie burgers. And also you can, especially with homemade burgers, you can do the sear on the stovetop and then just after at that point, it'll like hold its shape really well. So you can move it to the grill or save it, you know, pre-cook them that way and then grill them all later in the afternoon. But also on the stovetop, if you sear on the stovetop and then just kind of like put the heat really low, that can kind of mimic the oven too. So you don't have to necessarily fire up the oven.
Lucas Folger, cookbook author of Veggie Burgers Every Which Way. Thank you, Lucas, for taking the time to speak with me. I learned so much. You should check out the book. It's published by The Experiment. Where else but Ginger Radio Hour will you learn intense and interesting facts about binding agents? But that really is the key to the veggie burger, as you just learned. You have to get the binding agents right. So this summer, use all those fresh vegetables to try to create some veggie burgers. You can check in, you can check out Ginger Radio Hour here at wgxc.org. We'll have some links to Lucas Folger's website, which is lucasfolger.com, but also to some of the recipes. You can also check me out on Tumblr. Just look up Ginger Radio Hour. Google it, and you'll find my Tumblr page, which has links to the whole archive of shows, as well as playlists and much more. So I'll see you this summer at Story Farms or wherever you shop for your local farm fresh vegetables. Good luck grilling. And I'm running out of words, which is a good cue to get into my closing track of the day. It's Lenny Okehu and his Surfboarders. It's from one of my favorite albums called Hawaiian Holiday, which, yes, indeed, I picked up at a WGXC record sale years ago over in Hudson. So here's Lenny and his Surfboarders. Have a wonderful summer. Cook lots of food, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.